Gotta change your diapers now. Look at those dirty old diapers.
Houston geologists Kathy and Gary, who asked that their last name not be used, have diapering their twins down to a smooth routine. The baby boy and girl are 8 months old, with big eyes and tufts of dark hair. They look like alert little birds. Gary smiles every time he looks at them. As she gives her daughter a bottle, Kathy recalls how much she wanted these babies.
I was having trouble with seeing pregnant women, seeing children, going to baby showers. The thought of that, there's just no way. I mean, things would, some days you're fine, but other days you're a wreck.
Kathy and Gary struggled with infertility for years. Gary had a low sperm count, but even with artificial insemination, Kathy didn't get pregnant. Doctors cut into Gary's testicles to remove sperm. Kathy had eggs removed, fertilized in a glass dish, and transferred to her uterus. Still, there was no pregnancy. Gary started suggesting adoption.
I was more worried about Kathy than I was about, you know, having a child, because this is pretty stressful, particularly when you're loaded up on all the drugs they pump into you. You know, it was getting pretty stressful for both of us. So, you know, being a guy, I wanted to find a solution. Like, let's just go out and adopt a baby.
But Kathy and Gary found that adoption could be just as expensive as a try at in vitro fertilization. And they feared the birth parents might someday demand the baby back, even though they knew that almost never happens. They worried about the prenatal care an adoptive baby might have received. Did the birth mother drink or smoke? And Kathy wanted to experience pregnancy.
Well-meaning people who just don't understand, they see what you're going through and they go, well, why don't you just adopt? And my answer is for the same reason you didn't, because they're invariable people that have their own biologic children. Why didn't you adopt?
It's something that's inherent in everybody, in all species too. You know, you got to go out and procreate.
When the couple learned of a less painful technique for extracting sperm from a man's testicles, they decided to try in vitro fertilization again. This time it worked. The twins were born last March. Whether people are driven by a primordial edict to bear children is the subject of some debate among biologists and psychologists. Psychology professor Steven Pinker from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology does not believe human beings have an innate biological desire to have children.
Primarily, we have a drive to have sex. If we really had a drive to just have children that bear copies of our genes, then you'd have men lining up around the block to donate sperm. There are people who decide not to have children. Probably most people in our society decide to have fewer children than they could have. I think there are very few people who decide that they have no interest in sex.
Pinker says from an evolutionary perspective, there was no need for humans to develop a desire for babies. As long as they wanted sex, they got babies. He thinks the reason so many people do want babies is that human brains don't run only on instinct. People can reason. They can predict that having children might make them happy. But Pinker says once a baby is born, an instinct does kick in. Parents are driven to care for their children.
Imagine that in a maternity ward, the nurse comes up to a new mother and says, well, we have about a dozen babies who have appeared in the last day or two. Do you care which one we give you? I think it's obvious that people would care. They want their own child, even if they can't even tell the difference between their own child and other children. There is a deep-rooted idea of a child that is your own flesh and blood.
Biologists point out that in other species, too, animals are more likely to care for offspring related to them. Penguins will find and feed their own young in colonies of hundreds of seemingly identical baby penguins. Pinker says certainly it's possible to love and bond with an adopted child, but many infertile people say in order to adopt, they first had to grieve for the genetically related child they never had. On a summer day in a Minneapolis suburb, Becky and Kevin Peterson watch their son push a toy duck down the driveway as their daughter rides her bike. Kevin's sister, Carmen Eisma, and her husband, Steve, have just brought the kids back from lunch. The Eismas are childless. They dote on their niece and nephew.
It just seems like it's so ingrained in me that I want a family. I want a husband, which I've got, a wonderful one, but I also want us to be a family.
Having a family, I think, is or will be a way to help shape a life and I'd want the child to be just a very strong person, a good person that has integrity and is, you know, a shining light in the world.
The Eisners are infertile because Carmen lost her uterus to cancer a couple of years before they met. They've tried to adopt, while also trying new medical treatments that offer them the chance of creating a genetically related child. Last summer, doctors took eggs from Carmen's ovaries, fertilized them with Steve's sperm, and transferred them into Becky, Carmen's sister-in-law. The Eismas say they were powerfully moved when they saw the embryos they created, embryos that, for some reason, did not survive.
We saw them. I mean, it was like, I actually did it after all this. I actually did it. I made, those are my babies.
The Eismas plan to try another embryo transfer as soon as they can get the money together, even though the odds are against achieving a pregnancy.
I remember watching shows where these people said they spent $100,000 trying to do the in vitro, and I just said, why would they keep trying? Well, I know now. It's very hard to let it go, you know, when you actually saw them. It's a good chance, an okay chance.
Psychologists say that the cycle of hope and despair infertility patients go through is sort of addictive. It's like playing the slot machines. An occasional small win keeps people dropping quarters in, hoping for a jackpot, even though the odds are with the house, and they know it. Dr. Cecilia Valdez is an infertility specialist in Houston.
I'm always amazed. I had a lady the other day. She was, you know, 44 years old. She said, well, what's the chance that I will get pregnant with my own eggs? And I said, well, you know, maybe 1 out of 100, maybe at the most 5 out of 100, and you'll probably miscarry at least half of those pregnancies. And her answer was, so there's hope.
Hope is kept alive, Valdez says, by new developments. What was an experiment last year may be standard treatment this year. Researchers keep coming up with new solutions that offer another chance to people who dream of bearing children. I'm Catherine Winter, Minnesota Public Radio.